We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Sometimes we don't know how he's going to move, but we know he's going to move. And in which direction? Sometimes it's not the direction that we want. I find that more often than not. And I'm like, this way, Lord, this way. And I'm like, no, this way, Lord, this way. Why are you this way? Say, no, I know what you need. I know what you want. But this is what you need. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about miracles. Yeah, we got some extra visitors here. Yeah. Donald saw that. He called my attention to that now. Yeah, listen. No, some bugs. The question posed this morning is, does God still perform miracles? You know, think about miracles, that a lot of people want God to perform miracles to prove himself to them. I had one friend said, if God will knock me down like he did Paul on the road to Damascus, then I'll believe. I don't know how long he's going to hold on to that, but I just say, well, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. I'm just going to pray for you. If only God would perform miracles or a sign or wonder, they say, I'd believe in him. That very idea is contradicted in Scripture. When God performed his mighty, powerful, amazing miracles for the Israelites, it did not cause them to obey. As a matter of fact, those stiff-necked people constantly disobeyed him. They constantly rebelled against God, even though they saw the mighty miracle. So, that's something to think about. This people saw something that you and I have never seen. They saw a sea of water separated, standing on either side, and they went through, the Bible said, on dry land. Then they saw the Egyptians trying to come through that same thing, and they saw that sea close over the Egyptians and drown them. That's pretty powerful. You know, they still rebelled. Because when he sent them into the what was to be the promised land, there was a people there called the sons of Anak. They were pretty big people. They were giants, as a matter of fact. And the Lord said, I want you to go in and spy out the land. And they saw everything God said would be there. But he didn't mention to them that the land was full of giants. Sons of Anak. He said, this is what you go and see. Go and see this. In other words, you see what I'm pointing to you towards. And then you will be able to take this land. This land is for yours. 12 of them went. And 10, all 12 came back, and 10 said, we went in the land, we saw exactly what God said, we saw that it's a land flowing with milk and honey, here is a cluster of the grapes, they're so big that two men had to carry them on a staff between the two of them. Man, that's a great, that's the kind of grape I want. She loves grapes. How about I show up from someplace with a grape that big, you know? And they say, we saw all of this. But there's one other thing we saw. There's a problem here. See, there's some people over there. they're giants. And when we looked at them, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And so are we in our own sight. He didn't say go in and look at that. And so it was only two men there that said, shh, let's go in. We're well able to take the land. Those 30 giants are bred for us. Bread strengthened. That's what they said. They're bread for us. But, of course, the voices of the 10 prevailed over the voices of the 2. And that whole generation never did go into that promised land. It was the next generation. Along with the 2 that believed God. The 2. Joshua and Caleb, that believed God. They testified in agreement with God, and the whole generation, carcasses, bodies fell in the wilderness, except for two from that generation, and those are the ones that believed God. They took him at his word. They didn't go in because they stayed with the people. Luke 16:19-31 tells us the story of a man. They call him the rich man. Tradition calls him Dives, but I don't know that they really know his name. It might be the Latin rendition of rich man. But this man fared sumptuously. He lived well. He had a good life. And then there's a man, Lazarus, who was sick, who had sores on him. Lazarus was in such terrible condition. The Bible says that his sores were open, and this is gross, but the dog came and licked his sores. That's pretty bad. And it said this man, all he wanted was crumbs from the bread, from the table of this rich man. That's all he wanted. He begged for crumbs. Just crumbs. And it says that the time came that Lazarus died. And then it says that the rich man died, and in hell did he lift up his eyes in torment. And he looks across the way, and who do you think he sees? Lazarus over across the way. And he's what they call comforted in Abraham's bosom. That's what it's called, Abraham's bosom. And so the rich man, now all of a sudden, he's seeing Lazarus. He's not hurting and sick anymore, but I'm tormented in this flame. I can't, no matter how I move, I can't get comfortable and just can't. And he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Send him over. He still couldn't get over the fact that Lazarus was once sick and was below him in natural life. He's still giving orders, trying to give orders to Lazarus. Send him over here and let him, with a little bit of water on his finger, and let him touch my tongue with it, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, I don't remember ever being satisfied with the tip of water on my tongue. I want a glass of water. But the torment was so terrible in this place where he was that even a tip of water would cause him some kind of a degree of relief. And Abraham said, no, no. He says, remember, which means in hell you have memory. Remember, in your time, that you had well. You had all you needed. And this man, Lazarus, suffered. Now is he comforted. Now you're tormented. He says, no, no, well, in that case, send them back and tell my brothers about this place so that they won't come to this place. And he says, you know what? Number one, there's a chasm between me and you, so he can't come over there to you and you can't come over here to us. But then he said that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to send him. He said, they've got Moses. They've got the prophets. In other words, they've got instruction. If they won't hear the instructions that they have been given during their lifetime, neither will they hear the one rise from the dead. Now, Jesus told this parable. Now, you know he was talking about himself. Now, in other words, if the people that had the oracles of God and the word of God would not hear and obey the word of God, then they will also not hear what Jesus has to say. They will not receive what of Jesus as he, even though he's raised from the dead. That even the miracle of the resurrection would not sway people that will not believe the word of God. In other words, miracles have their place. But we need to understand what place that is. We've been going down through some very serious subject matter here. Some very serious subject matter about certain doctrines that you and I have faced and have followed in our lifetime. Me, you have. But we have all followed these doctrines. And so it's time for us to try to get some kind of clarity on these, that even miracles, sometimes on the vast majority of people, will not change if they even saw a miracle. Now, faith and seeing miracles are two entirely different things. So before we go any further, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get on into our study. Father, we're so grateful today for my wife, on her birthday, and may she have a wonderful day and life after this. And we thank you for those that came, and we just ask that you would just touch and help them to hear your word and not get in the way of this truth. And that I may also not get in the way of this truth, that, Lord, you'll be seen and heard as we speak about this powerful subject, miracles. In Jesus' name, amen. Miracles, the word, Greek word for miracles is sign. It means sign. A miracle is a sign. A sign, yeah. The Jews required a sign. And so the Greek word for miracles is sign. If God performed miracles today as he did in the past, the result would probably be the same. People would be amazed, they would believe God, and they would believe the power of God, but it'll only be for a short time. But as soon as something happens that they're not happy about, or something that's unexpected, they go right back to where they were before. God, what have you done for me lately? That's where they go back. What have you done now? It's time for you to do something else now. They want to demand and command and tell God what to do. You don't tell God what to do. I don't get it. Some people seek after signs and wonders because they seek an occasion to excuse their unbelief. If God will do this, then I'll believe God. Matthew 16:1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came tempting him, desiring him, said that they wanted him to show them a sign from heaven. They were wanting him to do a sign probably comparable to that which Elijah did, that called down fire from heaven, like in the Old Testament. We have the story of Elijah. Did it, I think, two or three times. He called down fire from heaven and can consume whole groups of soldiers. They wanted to see that. Show us a sign from heaven. And now some people seek after signs and wonders because they're curious. They're thrill seekers. A lot of folks, they just want to see what it's like. They're like the crowds in John 6:2. And it says that great multitudes followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them and them that were diseased. So there were crowds that followed him because of what they saw, only because of what they saw. They're thrill seekers. That's what they want. And some people seek after signs and wonders because they hope to get something for themselves. It's a personal thing. I'm trying to get something here through the miraculous. When Jesus fed the multitudes, we know he fed 5,000 at one time and 7,000 at another time. And each time he finished, they had more left over than when they started. The little boy brought his lunch and he walked away with dinner for the family. And he could share some as he went away, see? And so he fed these large crowds. And then the crowds followed him on the other side to Galilee. And in John 6:26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." That's why you're following me. You want some more food. You want me to feed you. You want me to keep you on free lunch. You want me to be your lunch ticket. That's what he said. That's what you're looking for. He says, look, don't labor for the meat which perishes, but labor for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now, even in his message, even though he did the miracles, he's saying that the point is not the miracle. The miracle is the attention getter. The point is the everlasting life that I'm talking about. I'm pointing towards something, and I'm utilizing the miracles just to get your attention. Not for you to think, oh, we're going to live by miracles the rest of our lives. Miraculous miracles. The purpose of miracles, they were to authenticate the messenger and the message. They were there to authenticate it, to give credence to it. You might say that the appearance of miracles is God's amen, if you will. That's 1 Leroy chapter 1, verse 1. In case you want to try to read up on it, you'd have to come to me for the book, but as God's amen, amen. It's his witness to the authenticity of the person and the message. He witnesses to the fact that this person is coming in his name, and he witnesses with signs and wonders and other things of such manner. Like in Acts 2:22-23, Peter in his very first gospel message declared this. He said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Folks say, oh, poor Jesus. He came doing good. They just took advantage of him. They treated him like dirt and they spit on him and they beat him and then they crucified him. Poor Jesus. I don't think so. Not poor Jesus. Jesus is the one that started it all up. He's the one that decided to come. He's the one that waited in the Garden of Gethsemane for them to come. Better Jesus than me. Because they would have been looking in one part of the garden, in another part of the garden, and they'd have to look in Oliver's house and look in John's house and Russell and say, now he's supposed to be here. Where did he go? Don't he know the scriptures? Yeah, I know the scriptures. But he's the one that orchestrated this. He waited for them. And he was in control all the time. When they came to get him and he asked with the crowd and Judas, who is it that you're looking for? And they say, Jesus, he said, I am he. It knocked them all to the ground. His answer knocked them all to the ground. And if you can imagine all these men, these strong men of war get up with their spears and everything and their rope and they're brushing themselves off and wondering, who pushed me down? And he said, I ask you, who do you seek? And they said, well, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I've told you, I am he. If it's me you're looking for, then let these go. What Jesus did was he took charge of the situation. They came to arrest him. Jesus wound up giving the orders. Now, you don't tell me that poor Jesus, they just took advantage of him and just hurt him so bad. Oh, the poor Lamb of God. Weakly, weakly, weakly. No, no. You ain't seen a man like this man ever. I tried to emulate him, but it falls short all the time. It's these confounded holes and stuff I keep stepping into and falling into. I just can't see like he sees. But this is the Jesus that we're talking about, the one of whom we say we belong to. Even though the people saw the benefits of the miracles and the miraculous work of Jesus, they still called for his death. The miracles didn't make any difference to them. They ate the food. Surely some of the people that ate the bread was there saying, crucify him. Surely some of the people that benefited from his ministry and that he opened blind eyes and healed their aunt or their grandma, they would kind of get caught up in the craziness. You know, I'm going to share something with you. Years ago, back in 1991, she was there. My first daughter was there. She would have been around 12 years old. There was a family member, and I won't call this member's name for fear that one day they might listen to this message. But this family member, and my mother had to convince me to go, because I said, I just don't feel like it, Mom. And she kept on. I said, okay, I'll go. The van wasn't working right. The starter was bad in the van. Where we live? Were we in Miami? Still in Miami? You in Tallahassee? And all kinds of stuff. I had every excuse not to go, but I went and I took my daughter with me. And this family member was laying in bed, paralyzed, blind, in pain, could not lift her arms. And I walked in this place and I saw that. And when I saw it, my heart just sunk. I'm like, oh my God. And I began to pray and ask the Lord, what is it that he wanted me to do? And listen, I'm going to tell you how simple this is. You ask, you hear, and you do. Have you learned that to do so? You ask, you hear, and you do. You don't debate. Lord, that don't make no sense. Look, I know it don't make sense. You do it anyway. He don't have to make sense. Okay, he don't have to make sense. If you ask him, you'll receive. And so I began to get instructions, and there was my daughter, and there was the woman's daughter, and there was, I think, a small child there, me and the person was there in the bed. And so I began to listen to the Lord and do what he told me to do. This was back in the wild, wild days, right? And I anointed this one and did that one and prayed how he told me to pray and the direction he told me to pray. And I began to pray for her. I asked her, do you believe God can heal you? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I began to just pray a simple prayer. And as I'm praying, I'm listening. And then the Lord gives me a name, which I will not repeat, but I did say it that day. And as I prayed, I heard this name, and I called the name, and I said, hey, I command you, name, come out. You remember that? And this person, she said, she'll never forget it. And this person's eyes, who were like this, got this, they were supernaturally big. They were bigger than stretch eyes. Those, I mean, they were big. You've seen some of these horror movies where they do the mouth like this? Well, that's camera trickery. But this wasn't camera trickery. And when I saw it, I did like this. You know. Yeah, well, it was close. It was a shock. I saw it. I did like this. And I remember some of my training say, don't let them know that you're afraid. Don't let them make you laugh. They can either make you afraid or make you laugh. Either way, they just say some very funny things too sometimes. But you got to keep maintaining. So I stepped back up and I began to command this thing, whatever it was, to let go. And then I heard a voice come from her said, no. I said, what? I started getting bold, you know. Because when it answered back, I said, it hurt me. No. I said, what? No. I said, yes, you will come out. No. I said, you will. No. I said, I come out. No. I command you. No. And we're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Then all of a sudden, she began to get like she's going to regurgitate. By then, I was so bold, I said, go and get some paper towels. And make a long story short, it got pretty rough in there. And we continued this battle for several hours. To me, it was minutes. When I went home, they said, you've been going for hours. I said, no, I've been going for like 20 minutes. They said, no, you've been going for hours. And so I didn't even see the passage of time. But when we finished, she could see. She could lift her arms. Remember? She sat up on the side of the bed. I said, what you doing? What you doing? She said, I'm getting ready to get up. She said, I'm going to do my own hair. I hadn't been able to do my hair for the longest. She got her mobility back. I said, can you see my face? She said, yeah. I said, how I look? She said, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And listen, it couldn't have been me because I didn't have one of those. That was the will of God. These are signs that he gave to her to authenticate the message and the messenger. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
Do you know that shortly after that, I got word that woman was running me down with her mouth. She was tearing me down. I'm in good company. That's how it goes. Miracles do not make your miracles necessarily. That's the outcome. But listen, as sure as you listen to what I'm saying to you, and as sure as you began to move in this area under the authority of the name of Jesus, the same experience will be yours. But don't wait for the accolades and for them to have a parade for you. It's not going to be a parade. It's going to be a crucifixion. It's going to be a crucifixion that follows. And I didn't understand it then. I better understand it now. But there's glory in it. But the glory goes to God and not to you. This is the work. In 2 Corinthians 12:12, the Apostle Paul said, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so the work of an apostle, the apostles were confirmed by signs and wonders and mighty deeds. They did that so people would recognize that God was with them. That's why these miracles and signs were done, to authenticate the message and the messenger. The message is not of miracles. The message is about the kingdom of God. That's what the message is about. That's right. That's why they had to wait. In 2 Corinthians 12:12, God confirmed Paul's apostleship by the performance of miracles. Even regarding the gospel, in Hebrews 2:1-4, It states the following: therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness. God did, he buried them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. God bears witness of the message with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost and miracles. It's him bearing witness. It's God's amen to that ministry. It's God's amen to that person that's sent. That's what it's about. They still happen today. Miracles still happen today. But a faith that's solely built on miracles is not a mature faith. It is not a mature faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. So it's the unseen life of faith that is mature faith. You know what that is, Christian? When you look and say, I sure don't see it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You don't see it. Because that's where the miracles happen, in the unseen. A brother just walked up to me today. And can I share this? Russell. He's been having some problems, and I might not say it word for word, but he's been having some issues. Why don't you come and tell it right quick? I'm going to mess it up. Well, you tell me about your job.
Yes, I've been having a lot of leg problems over the past several months. I've had 3 surgeries trying to get blood flowing in my leg, and I've got another one scheduled for next Tuesday that hopefully will clear it up. I'm praying that it will. It's going good so far, but it's just one step at a time. And I haven't been able to work since about the first week of December. And since that time, I have gone back to CVS where I work and tried to quit 3 times, saying that you need to hire somebody in my place because I don't know when I'm coming back to work. Every time they have turned down my request. They have chosen to keep me on the payroll, keep me with my discount, and I mean, just praise God. So I'm going to stop trying to quit.
tell them what they're doing to keep you on the payroll.
The main office will take you off the payroll if you go more than about 2 or 3 pay cycles without getting a check. So they're putting me in for working like 10 minutes every 2 weeks just to stay on the payroll and keep my family discount. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand for that. Thank you, brother. God takes care of his own. We're praying for Bobby for a job, but God is still providing for Bobby.
Yeah.
He's still providing for my brother there. We're going to have you give us a testimony one day. But he still provides. He's providing for my sister, Janet. He's providing for us. He's doing it. I don't know how, but he's doing it. It just shows up in some form. You go to the mailbox and there's a check in there.
Yeah.
What? To take care of you. And it's the miraculous. They didn't even recognize when he took the 5 loaves and the few fish and blessed it, the fact that he started passing out the bread, they didn't even realize that he went past 5 loaves a long time ago. And he went past a few fishes a long time ago, but they kept passing it out, and then they started to think, well, where's he getting all of the bread and the fish from? But I mean, there were 12 baskets left. 12 baskets from the 5 loaves and a few fish, 12 baskets. The miracles happen and you don't even recognize that it's happening. You don't even see it as it's taking place. But they do take place. They do happen. Yes, sir, brother.
The last time you heard about this, you were in the eye. We're trying to do this. I bet they were.
And we're not either. And I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you to that end. I really have, because I recognize that about you. And we're not quite ready for you to do that yet. We want you to hang around. So Keep fighting, brother. Keep fighting. We need your wisdom. We really need your wisdom. I know. Hey, Russell. Hey, man. Praise the Lord. And Russell need a ride to church. And the people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, man. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why the diligent? Because it sure don't look like nothing's going to happen. Keep seeking them anyway. Why the diligence? Because I've just been told no. Why the diligence? Because I've just been told I'm not going to have a job in 6 months. And that I got one choice. I can either move 300 or 400 miles away, or I could go jobless and homeless. And we're looking, and it's like, Lord, you said that you take care of me and my family. And we continue to hold on. And so here we are, in Tallahassee. We now have the truth of Jesus recorded in scriptures. And so the signs and miracles that he may still work them, but the signs and miracles that were sent to authenticate the message of the gospel, now the message is now in recorded. We've got it in scriptures. We have the writings of the apostles. We have everything there. And Ephesians 2:20 tells us that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. We are built upon the foundation of the prophets. The cornerstone is one of the major parts of the building. They got to lay that right first. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know that much, that the first stone, the cornerstone, that's got to be laid square and level and properly in order for the rest of the building to be built properly on a good foundation. That's it. And that's the foundation. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the building that we are. In a sense, miracles are no longer necessary as they were previously to authenticate the message of Jesus, his apostles, since the gospel, again, has already been attested to, and it's accurately recorded in scriptures. We've got it finally down in scriptures. Now it's a matter of walking by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says. Walking by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith and not by sight. My goodness, how much benefit is there in walking by faith and not by sight? You'll find yourself in areas where a normal person would never find themselves, because you're walking by faith, because you're being led by God. You've got on board the Holy Ghost. And he will instruct you and teach you, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. That's what he does. He leads and guides you into all truth. And as he leads and as you follow, you find yourself in situations and circumstances that you otherwise would not have anything at all to do with. But as he leads and guides you, God still performs miracles. At the same time, we should not expect miracles to occur in order to believe him. But that's not faith. That's not faith. A Christian whose faith is based on miracles has a faith that's not mature. It's an immature faith. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, God did some pretty powerful things. And then after a while, that kind of trailed off. And it just became walking by faith. Well, he did those pretty powerful things just to show me where I was and who I was with. But after a point, it trailed off. So new believers, you might see a lot more of that happening than us older guys. Us older guys should not be still running behind miracles. Not that they won't happen, but that's immature. So our faith must be based upon that. Jesus said something to Thomas. Remember when Jesus was resurrected? And they finally saw Jesus. He showed up in that room and talked to them. He appeared and then disappeared. Thomas wasn't there. He shows up and they say, we've seen the Lord. He came. Thomas said, unless I see with my eyes the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, He said, I will not believe. Thomas said she had to see. He said, I won't do it. I hear you. But unless I see these things, I will not believe. And so Jesus came back specifically for Thomas there in John 20, 29. He said to him, Thomas, reach hither. This is before that. Reach hither your finger. Touch my wound. And reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side. He said, be not faithless, but believe. The scripture never says that Thomas reached or thrust it or anything. He said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Have you ever seen the Lord? Do you believe in him? Do you believe him? You're blessed. You're blessed. Blessed. Happy. Completely fulfilled. More fulfilled than you know you are. So we keep looking back at the natural, looking back at the spirit, looking back at the natural, and we get kind of go up and down. The greatest miracle of all times is God leaving his glory, coming down on earth, and becoming a man in the person of Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, starting at 16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Smoking and drinking and doing all this other stuff will not condemn you. But unbelief in Jesus Christ is the thing that will put that nail in the coffin. See? So the Lord said, look, Leroy or boy or whatever you want to call me, people are at different levels of development in me. But he says, everybody is developing. And stop looking at people and looking at yourself. I think that was a rebuke, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, yeah. Got it. Stop looking at others, because he said, you know what, I'm going to get him. Hey, y'all, look at me. He's going to get you. You belong to him. He's going to get you in his own way, in his own time. Everything that he has for you is going to be accomplished in your lifetime. Y'all might see me in the coffin, but don't worry. Oh, my Lord, what are we going to do? We keep running, because he's still working in your life. Amen. Just keep running, because he's still working in your life. Romans 5:8 tells us that God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. And listen, one of the biggest miracles, along with the fact that God left glory, came down, became a man, he was incarnate in the body of a man, and they called him Jesus. But then he sent back the Holy Ghost. And now God lives in men. And now he lives in men. How much more miraculous can it be that when you walk out that door, he's in you and walking in you? That's the most powerful miracle. And you say, why do I get these crazy thoughts? Well, because God is in you and he's speaking to you and he's giving you direction. Whether you hear or whether you listen or not, that's a whole nother subject. But he is talking to you, and we call them crazy thoughts. But they're not really crazy. It's the mind of Christ that's working in place of your natural mind. And if you put the mind of Christ next to the natural mind, one of them is crazy. Something ain't working right. It's the mind of Christ working. It's the Holy Ghost working in you. Learn to follow God. But he does still perform miracles. Many of them, they simply go unnoticed. But we do not have to worry, because he's working in us. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So listen, one of the biggest miracles we got is the fact that we're here. We love Him. We're so crazy about Him. We love Him so much. Never seen Him. But in another way, we have seen Him. But we've seen Him in the unseen area. There are no words, really, to adequately express what's going on in us. But as you hear me struggle, I know you know what I'm trying to say. Yes, girl, go ahead. Yeah, not just the Jews, but to all people. It started with the Jews, but it spread throughout the whole world. That's why a mutt like me is sent up here to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we're just grateful today for the message on miracles. Lord, it's a difficult subject there to cover because it's a spiritual subject, but it's important. We understand and thank you for the signs that you give us and for that which you show us. And before I leave, I want to just bring one more thing to your attention. Remember when the disciples were with Jesus and He sent them out two by two? Once, first He sent 12, then He sent 7. I think it was in Luke 10 somewhere. And He says, go into the highways and hedges or something like that. He says, yeah, preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. He gave them authority to do that. He passed authority on to them. That was way before the Holy Ghost came. They were performing that work. But in Mark chapter 16, verse 14, look at this pretty much same commission. Afterwards He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, miracles, shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That message is about you, believers. As you go, these signs will follow. Don't expect to be sitting up looking at Double Jeopardy and signs to show up. That's not the direction He gave. He said that you go into all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs will follow the preaching of the gospel. And I'm a witness that they do follow. Amen?
Amen.
And so, Lord, once again, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this teaching. Help us, Lord, to understand exactly what it is You're trying to tell us. We've heard several things, but we really need complete clarification on this. So we thank You for starting the teaching on miracles and their purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.